Welcome to For the Health of It, starring Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor. She is joined by her co-host Jessica and producer Mike Clark. They will inspire you to eat, move, sleep, think, and live better.
Welcome back. Today we are going to be back in the news, and we're going to start with something a little bit sweet.
Hey, I just had something sweet.
Yes.
Thank you, Jessica.
What was that, Jessica?
They're chocolate cake balls, chocolate coconut cake balls that I made yesterday.
They were fabulous.
With like a Betty Crocker cake mix?
No.
I doubt that. That's the way I would make them.
So I used pulp from my carrot juicer.
Of course.
And I used a cup of carrot pulp and a cup of pitted medjool dates and a teaspoon of cinnamon and 3 tablespoons of raw chocolate. And I put it in the food processor until it was so smooth. And then I made balls and I rolled it in shredded coconut and put them in the freezer. And when they go in the freezer, they don't freeze. They're actually at the perfect consistency where
you just ruined
take
it
a
for
bite.
Me. They didn't taste that healthy though.
You know what would have made them even better, Mike?
What's that?
Honey.
Yeah, honey.
I say that because we are starting with naturalnews.com. J.D. Hayes wrote this article called 7 Ways to Use Honey for Whatever Ails You. You know, we've been having honey for sale in our office for, many, many years now. We have a patient who brings it from a farm fairly local. It's on the East Coast. And patients love it because it's unprocessed and it tastes good and it's a great way to get a healthy sugar in your food, especially in baking. But it's not just for baking. So according to this article, honey is a natural energy booster. Did you know that?
Mm-hmm. I heard it was really good for you.
Yeah, like you'd want to down an energy bar or some type of energy drink. You could actually instead try a spoonful of honey.
Well, people use it when they have a sore throat, too. They
right.
say a teaspoon of honey.
Yeah, all the singers in here bring honey
yeah.
in before they sing. Yeah.
Well, an actual athlete's performing strenuous exercise will find a significant boost of energy because it's a carbohydrate and that's a critical nutrient in endurance exercise. And honey is a natural cocktail of just various natural sugars. So
you're going to get some bees? Get some bees.
Well, here's another way that honey helps. It says forget the fancy facial creams. So raw honey is really good for your face and skin. And this was actual research that's been done. It recommends trying a gentle honey wash. That's a dollop of honey mixed with 2 tablespoons of warm water in the palm of your hand. Then gently massage the mixture into your face and skin. And they've been using this in Asia for many, many, many years because it has natural medicinal properties. And if you combine the honey with rice bran, you can use it to treat diaper rash and even acne. And it's great for dry skin because it stimulates good circulation. It helps to seal in moisture.
Another way of keeping it real.
I know. Well, and then it actually talks about how you can make a honey moisturizer. So find a sweet smelling herb, say like lavender, and you can make your own homemade honey lotion. So you warm honey over a saucepan until it gets to like a liquid consistency. Pour the honey over the herb and cap it tightly. And you want to use a ratio of 1 tablespoon of herbs for 8 ounces of honey. You let it sit for a week, and then you mix 1 teaspoon of that liquid into an 8-ounce bottle of unscented lotion.
Thanks for the info, honey.
Not good?
Yeah.
A few more things. Have trouble sleeping? A spoonful of honey before bed by itself or just in a cup of warm herbal tea is a natural sleep remedy. You can get to sleep faster.
So it can help you to sleep and stimulate you.
Exactly.
That's going 2 different directions for me.
Right.
Do I have to do it in that order?
And as Jessica said, honey is great for suppressing a cough and with throat irritation. So pure, especially non-pasteurized honey, is a good elixir for common wintertime ailments like coughs and colds and sore throats.
Well, it's also good for making an amazing baklava.
Ooh, yes. That would be baklava.
Mm.
I don't know if that necessarily makes you
healthier.
Oh, that's
the Greek stuff, right? Yeah.
Yes. I have Armenian in me, and my great-grandmother at family events would always bring baklava.
Well, and it says that if you're going to use the honey for coughs, buckwheat honey is really good. And there was a study of 110 children, and 1 dose of buckwheat honey was just as effective as a single dose of cough medication and just relieving that nighttime cough and allowing a child to sleep. Well, and also this article is referencing how honey can be a natural antibiotic. There's even research, it references here, defensin-1, which is a protein that's added to honey by bees, possesses antibacterial properties and can be used against drug-resistant bacteria. One day we could be using it to treat burns and skin infections and develop new drugs that could combat anti-resistant infections. This was published in the Journal of the Federation of American Societies for Experimental Biology. Wow, that's a mouthful. And lastly, it talks about how honey has been used in Ayurvedic medicine in India for at least 4,000 years, and it's considered to affect all three of the body's primitive material imbalances positively. So basically what it's saying is it can be useful in improving eyesight, weight loss, curing impotence and premature ejaculation, urinary tract disorders, bronchial asthma, diarrhea, and nausea. Wow.
I have a couple of those. I don't have all of those.
Well, we don't need to discuss which ones. Right. Okay, next article.
I'll let you guess.
Okay, let's go over to, where are we? Sweden? I think we're in Sweden. Copenhagen. University of Copenhagen, yes. Science Daily. This was just this month in the Science Daily. It's talking about how birth itself is no reason to go to the hospital, according to this review.
It seems to be a trend.
Doesn't
it? I've read that.
Yeah.
In a few different articles.
Well, and it goes on to say a new Cochrane review concludes that all countries should consider establishing proper home birth services. They should also provide low-risk pregnant women with information enabling them to make an informed choice. The review has been prepared by senior researcher statistician Ole Olsen, the Research Unit for General Practice, University of Copenhagen, and a midwifery lecturer, PhD Jette Aero Clausen. So in a lot of countries, it's believed the safest option for women to give birth is the hospital. And I would say a lot of people in our country would say,
well, there's big money in it.
Well, and it's, you know, you have everything at your disposal should something go wrong.
Yeah. But
which
what
can
are
be
the
true.
Odds of that?
Well, I can talk about the odds actually.
Okay,
when I was first deciding how to birth my first child, Max, who actually turns 12 this week.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That's wild.
Yeah. So when he was, when I was pregnant with Max, I actually interviewed three different midwives and I was considering a home birth. And so I asked them questions like, one question I would ask is what percentage of your women that you work with end up getting transported to the hospital? And pretty consistently, I got somewhere between 3% and 4% would need to be transported. And when I asked—
That's a low percentage.
Yes, and when I asked what percentage or what the reasons were, something like out of those 3% and 4%, 90-some percent was failure to progress, meaning
right.
the mom just decided this has gone on too long. I need some type of help. I'm exhausted.
So she could be easily transported to a facility. That,
right. Yeah. So the majority weren't like, this is an emergency. Something's
right.
gone wrong. And, you know, a well-trained midwife, especially a certified nurse midwife,
would recognize that.
They have the skills and the tools to handle a lot of potential complications. And so you can imagine the cesarean rate, if you're working with a midwife, is, you know, less than probably 1% or 2%, whereas in a hospital, the cesarean rate is upwards of 33%.
Yeah, of
and
course.
So are the complications with pregnancies in hospitals is a lot higher.
Well, and I think the reason
more
for that,
for
right, well, there's a risk for infection, but also because you're in the hospital and it's such an option, you know, at home, the temptation to make unnecessary intervention is reduced, but, you know, it's just routine. For example, it's routine in a hospital to do electronic monitoring, but it's been shown that that can lead to more women having artificial rupture of membranes, which in turn can lead to more interventions. So it's kind of like this cascading effect.
Right.
You're there, it's being offered to you. One intervention can lead to another intervention. Maybe it's just something simple they say to like get the labor going, but then that can lead to too strong of a contraction, which can lead to, you know, it's one thing can lead to another. Well, and what's interesting is this article talks about how patients is important if women want to avoid interference and give birth spontaneously. And really it's patience for both the mother and for the healthcare provider, for the doctor. And oftentimes there's a fear that something's wrong if it doesn't happen in a certain timeline or if—
Well, the whole thing just scares me. The whole process. I've seen it.
Aren't you
terrifying.
Glad you're a man?
Thank the Lord.
That's right. You just had another grandchild.
That's right.
Crazy. Well, and you know, personally, for me, it was way scarier to think about handing over my options to a hospital. it just, for me, that was scary, where I know for other women, they need to find somewhere in between. So they might have a doula represent them in a hospital, or maybe they'll do a birth center birth with a midwife.
I'm sure the medical community frowns upon that, though. Don't they? I mean, this is a lot of money to be made. The business of birthing. I saw a documentary on that.
Ricky Lake did that. Yeah. That's pretty good. And there is a whole potential business behind it. I mean, I think bottom line is, you know, I think doctors have the best intentions for their patients.
We can only hope.
But the system itself is by nature invasive.
Right.
Yeah. And the great thing about being at home is what I loved about my two home births was I was in my bedroom. I had access to my bed, my clothes.
You were allowed to eat.
I was allowed to eat. I walked. I mean, I literally was in the middle of contractions and I thought, I want to listen to Van Morrison. And I literally took my time and I walked all the way down the hallway, stopped in between contractions, found the CD, put Van Morrison on, turned it up, walked back to the bedroom. Now, granted, this was my second child and I totally knew what was going on. I had no concerns. And that was part of my labor, was deciding what music I wanted to listen to.
Didn't you miss the fluorescent lights and everyone else screaming around you?
No. And knowing that my child was downstairs safe with his dad, and knowing that, you know, my sister was around, and just feeling comforted in that way. Yeah. Well, when we come back, we're actually going to talk about another controversial topic, chemtrails. And are there chemicals being put into our environment unnecessarily? See you on the other side.
You're listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. Your host is Dr. Jennifer Kretzinger, wellness chiropractor at Spinal Corrective Center in Amherst, New Hampshire. For more information about Dr. Jennifer or this podcast, check out spinalcorrectivecenter.com. If you would like to schedule a health checkup with Dr. Jennifer, call 603-673-5600 and mention this podcast to receive a special offer. That's 603-673-5600. To find a wellness chiropractor in your area, go to chiropractic.org/doctorfinder. Now, back to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it.
We are back, and we're going to go again to naturalnews.com. This is by a staff writer, Jonathan Benson. And to be honest with you, this is not something that I necessarily know a lot about, but I've been reading some articles, and I think it's very interesting and maybe worth just bringing up. The title is "Swedish Official Admits Toxic Chemtrails Are Real, Not a Wild Conspiracy Theory." And it goes to say, those long white streams of persistent cloudy haze commonly blasted into blue skies by unmarked airplanes are not your typical contrails, says Swedish Green Party leader Pernilla Hagberg. As reported by the Swedish paper Katrineholm's Kurian, Hagberg, the first major political leader to come forward on the issue, has openly admitted that these unusual cloud trails, which fail to dissipate like normal contrails do, are actually a toxic mix of chemicals, viruses, and metals that she has collectively referred to as chemtrails. Well, and this is what is kind of crazy. It goes on to say, according to Hagberg, the sprains are a joint endeavor by the U.S. Central Intelligence Agency, or CIA, and the U.S. National Security Agency, or NSA, as well as the Swedish government in her own country, to modify atmospheric conditions via deliberate aerosol spraying efforts. And included in this dangerous mix of aerosols are various chemical components, viruses and viral fragments, and metals such as aluminum and barium, which have already been shown to be accumulating in water supplies and soils around the world.
Okay, I know this is a conspiracy theory, or, you know, people say it is, but I found something really interesting on Facebook a couple of weeks ago. A lot of my Facebook friends were posting at the same time, and these people don't know each other or live near each other necessarily. They're posting that they're coming down with something. They're coming down with a cold. I don't know. You know what I mean?
So you're saying this is causing their cold?
Maybe these viruses from the chemtrails are,
well, and that's, you know, I think that's what this is maybe implying, because it's saying that normal contrails, which are composed of just water vapor, quickly dissipate after emission from jet engines. And that's far different from chemtrails, which gradually blanket the entire sky in a sea of white. And it's saying it's a political problem, but it requires non-political solutions. So this is what's interesting. It says, It actually says, interestingly, the United Nations and various Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation-backed groups have recently been forced to admit that such sprains are taking place and that the emitted particles are not normal contrails. But their excuse for why chemtrails sprains are being done is that they will somehow save the planet from the devastating effects of so-called global warming, that ever-present pseudoscientific environmental theory that is often used as justification for all sorts of outlandish policy proposals.
Yeah, but we'll all be mutants.
Well, and, you know, they're saying in the case of chemtrails, everything from blocking the sun in order to lower the Earth's average temperatures to deliberately shifting weather patterns for the purpose of offsetting the allegedly melting polar ice caps have been used as excuses for trying to legitimize the seeding of our skies with a cornucopia of poisons. So I think either way, it's kind of scary.
Yeah.
So they're saying they're trying to alter the atmosphere.
Right.
And then other people are saying, well, you're just saying they're trying to alter the atmosphere.
Well, if they're going to do that, bring on global warming. That's what I say.
I mean, it doesn't even come out and say it, but it seems like what they're hinting at is some type of population control.
If you go on YouTube, you will find a video of Bill Gates outwardly admitting that he's working towards population control with vaccinations and other things,
methods. And this article, you know, has several videos that tie into this and talk about this. And again, I'm not saying I have any type of opinion either way, but just the fact that there's this debate or these conspiracy theories out there, it's kind of scary.
Should we go buy gas masks?
Well, no. Lately in the sky, I've been seeing not just one trail like that, but rows in the sky next to each other. So it's as if they're making one trail and then they're turning around and making a trail next to it. So there's all these parallel lines in the sky. I don't make that up. I took pictures of it.
That don't dissipate quickly.
Right.
Okay. Hmm. Well, you know, we're not about being conspiracy theorists. I just thought that was an interesting article to just bring to our listeners and maybe something to keep your eye on when you're reading. And we'll see what comes
up. Or looking up at the sky.
Yeah, and if more information comes out, we will share it with you.
You want to talk about UFOs now?
No, but I do think we should talk about, this is really cool. So my soon-to-be 12-year-old was reading a book, and he told me that a theme of this book is a phrase which you've probably heard before, 7 times down, 8 times up, which means don't ever give up. So it doesn't matter if something knocks you down, just keep getting up. As long as you get up more times than you've been knocked down, then you're succeeding. So there's this school, a top girls' school. This was reported in the BBC News by Judith Burns, an education reporter. It's planning a failure week. And the point is to build resilience. It's to teach pupils to embrace risk, build resilience, and learn from their mistakes.
So what
and
do they
they'll
do?
Be asked how they feel when they fail. They're going to be encouraged to fail.
Do they trip each other in the hallway, or what happens here?
Well, the headmistress, Heather Hanbury, said she wanted to show it is completely acceptable and completely normal not to succeed at times in life. And, you know, it's interesting because her pupils have some of the highest exam scores. But for a week, they're going to focus on failure. So there's actual workshops and assemblies and activities for the girls with their parents and tutors join in to talk about their own failures. And there's going to be YouTube clips of famous and successful people who have failed along the way and moved on.
It's good to be prepared for that.
Yeah, discussions
of
the merits of failure and on the negative side of trying too hard not to fail.
Well, because a lot of times when people fail, they, you know, they beat themselves up instead of looking at a failure as a lesson to become greater.
So, the actual gift of how do you fail and then get over it and cope with it. And then also the fear of failing can be crippling and stop people from doing what they really want to do because they have a fear of failing.
Right.
I think this is pretty cool. She said the pupils are hugely successful, but can sometimes overreact to failure, even though it can sometimes be enormously beneficial to them. And we want them to be brave and to have courage. And that's what they're doing. I think that's pretty fantastic myself.
Especially at that age. I mean, I think about as a teenager, you know, when you do fail, it's even more dramatic. Mm-hmm. Like, oh my God, my life is over. I smeared lipstick on my face and everyone saw.
Right. Everyone laughed at me and... Right, our lacrosse league or soccer team lost the championship.
And, right,
you know, instead of, you know, celebrating what has happened.
It happens.
Okay, so examiner.com this month by Janine Stokowski-Bisanti. The title is, Former Senior Scientist at Pharmaceutical Firm Says Vaccines May Cause Autism. Now, this is big because this is so controversial. Vaccines.
Wait, who said this?
Well, it was a scientific review by Helen Rogacek, PhD, who's a former senior scientist at Boehringer Ingelheim Pharmaceuticals.
Okay, so she used to work for a pharmaceutical company, so she knows.
And she considers peer-reviewed published theories that show possible connections between vaccines and autism. And she wrote an article in the Journal of Immunotoxicology entitled Theoretical Aspects of Autism Causes a Review. So she did what nobody else has done. She actually reviewed all published science since autism was first described in 1943 and explored not just one theory, but all of them. So she tried to look very objectively at this. And her article states in part that documented causes of autism include genetic mutations and or deletions, viral infections, and encephalitis or brain damage following vaccination. So therefore, autism is the result of genetic defects and or inflammation of the brain.
Oh, you've done numerous shows on this.
Yes, actually, yeah. I'm speaking next week for the Holistic Moms Network on this. And so I've been doing quite a bit of trying to keep up with the newest research.
Yeah.
There has been clear correlation with autism and brain inflammation or brain damage. And what she reports is that about the same time vaccine makers took most thimerosal out of most vaccines, with the exception of the flu shots, which still contain mercury. That's what thimerosal is. They began making vaccines using human tissue. So she says that human tissue is currently used in 23 vaccines and discusses the increase in autism incidences corresponding with the introduction of human DNA to the MMR vaccine.
And where are they getting this human DNA? That's what I want to know.
From fetal cell tissue. So basically aborted fetal cell tissue.
I've seen that in the ingredients
list
of some vaccinations.
Which is controversial on its own. Yeah.
Yeah, and she suggests that the two could be linked. So she also says that an additional increased spike in autism occurred in 1995 when the varicella or chickenpox vaccine was grown in human fetal tissue. Wow, so, you know, how can human DNA cause brain damage? She said DNA is incorporated into the host DNA. Now it's changed. Altered self and body kills it. Where is this most expressed? The neurons of the brain. Now you have body killing the brain cells and it's an ongoing inflammation. It doesn't stop. It continues through the life of that individual. She also argues that since nobody has disproven that DNA causes autism, scientifically the case is still open. So it's interesting and good to hear that this is still an ongoing topic.
Yeah, it's important.
It is important. And, you know, to me, my argument has always been, you know, the theory behind vaccines is fairly sound. It's the chemicals and the ingredients that are being put into the vaccines, the mercury, the formaldehyde, the human fetal tissue cells, the DNA. That's what
we're putting into a little body.
Injecting directly into the bloodstream. Yeah. And that's where we're starting to see problems. So, you know, I'm in favor of greening our vaccines. If we're going to have vaccines, we need to find a way to not inject all this additional chemicals into the body. Well, and your brain and your nervous system is the lifeline to your body. And let's end with something I read. A fellow chiropractor who's just done a lot of work philosophically in chiropractic, he's extremely well respected. His name is Kevin Danka. He's a chiropractor. He wrote a very short article called The One and Only Reason Anyone and Everyone Needs to See a Chiropractor. And I'd like to read this. Everyone is always both growing and dying at the same time. But one of these processes is always stronger than the other, so that your overall movement each day is either in the direction of growing or dying. If you want to grow more than you die each day, you need three things. A positive and deliberate focus on creating what you want. A healthy lifestyle that minimizes toxins and supplies your body with everything it needs to function, adapt, heal, and grow. A clear neurological connection between your brain and your body. Your nervous system and your spine are very intimately connected. So a chiropractic helps you recover and maintain an optimal brain-body connection by helping optimize the function of your spine, thus allowing you to grow more than you die every day of your life. This is the one and only reason anyone and everyone needs to be under regular chiropractic care. It's as simple as that. There you go. Everyone has a spine and nerve system. The whole point's to keep it clear.
There you go.
Okay, till next time. Be well, everybody.
You've been listening to some raw talk about full potential living for the health of it. For more information, go to spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call Dr. Jennifer at 603-673-5600. That's spinalcorrectivecenter.com or call 603-673-5600.